The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
So this morning with Jonathan Ayling, we want to talk about the decision to bar Candace Owens from our country, and also for comments, they'll be making public comments, the FSU, on the APAN's position statement on how psychotherapists should treat gender dysphoria. Morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Paul.
I'm right, eh? You're not going out of business.
If only. Unfortunately, trade is booming, but we would desperately like it to be any other way. This decision from Immigration New Zealand is being lined up as a technicality. They're saying they don't have any choice in it, and it's not a decision that any politicians have made. So I guess in one way that makes this case different from others, and Posey Parker is the one at the top of everyone's mind, I think. That was much more a question of attempts at direct interference. However, this is one where probably, despite the technicalities that are at play, there's still a lot of people around Immigration New Zealand going, but Candace Owens isn't going to offer our country anything good, is she? And that may not be true.
I don't buy. Sorry to jump in, Jonathan. No one buys the technicality.
Well, the law is quite clear. We have a relative.
Yeah, but there's discretion, though, isn't there?
No, there's no discretion.
What, even with the minister?
So that's the thing. And then, no, that's why we've gone to Chris Pink and say this is where discretion should be applied. He can't do that, though, until an application is made.
Oh, okay, I got
and,
you.
Yeah. And so he can't just unilaterally decide that a visa can be applied. He needs Candace Owens to do that. We're in the process of helping facilitate that now. And look, you know, I, like many others, had hoped that the new government would set us on a straighter path in this regard. And I thought Erica Stanford, who made some quite strong comments around the Posey Parker affair, saying that the way bad ideas are beaten is with better ideas, and that Immigration New Zealand shouldn't be politicising entry. We thought she was absolutely right then and set us on a good course for her tenure as Immigration Minister. Likewise, Chris Pink has been a stalwart and consistent advocate of free speech. So hopefully once we actually get that paperwork done, this can be applied. But we actually think Immigration New Zealand, I think you are right, there's an aspect of the technicality, but they're also playing with some numbers and some wording that that doesn't put them in a good light. And I think that they're deliberately using an inaccurate definition of the term excluded. I'll avoid the technical and legal jargon, but the question is whether she has been, Candace Owens has been excluded technically from Australia.
Yeah, but we also have to acknowledge why she was excluded.
That's absolutely correct. But we do not accept for a moment she has been excluded. Exclusion looks like someone committing a crime in Australia that results in imprisonment for 5 years and then getting deported or something. So it goes to your point there a little bit, that all she's done here is had an opinion. There's nothing actually serious for the Australians to be considered about. Ergo, we should by no means be looking to enforce the Australians' decisions. I mean, what standard are we setting here where if another country excludes someone, we suddenly have to do it ourselves? Are we going to refuse Salman Rushdie entry into New Zealand because the Iranians don't like him? It's a stupid standard to try and play by.
Well, who doesn't like her then? What groups don't like her, do you think?
Well, in New Zealand, the Young Labour has been running a campaign to have the Immigration New Zealand bar her from entry. And so they will be feeling like this is a victory at this point. I'm feeling fairly confident that even if we have to take it to court, which we are actively considering, we will win there. But hopefully we may be able to get it on a better path through ministerial engagement before then. But it's a litany of common suspects, isn't it? It's the Young Labour and other outfits like that who really think that if they can control the ideas Kiwis hear, then
we hear them anyway. I mean, I can watch Candace Owens' videos until the cows come home.
Well, and I promise you, Paul, many, many Kiwis had never heard of Candace Owens and have now gone and listened to her opinions as a result of this. And mark my words, she will eventually get into New Zealand. I understand that they're replanning the events for March. I think it's very likely that they'll go ahead. She will get into New Zealand, and at the point that she does, more Kiwis will go and listen to her in person than otherwise would have as a result of this stupid decision. So well done, Immigration New Zealand.
Yeah, you put her on the map even more. The thing with her, though, is, and you can see why she's scary, she is the most incredible speaker. She can disarm anyone. I saw her just pull, what's his name, Piers Morgan to pieces, like, you know, you pull an insect to pieces, surgically, dismantled it. That's scary. It's scary for people.
What is she, a 35-year-old black American woman? She's not exactly fitting the far-right extremist stereotypes for the most part.
Well, actually, I speculated before in the intro to the show, Jonathan, sorry to jump in on you, but I just, that, you know, I could turn this lens around and reframe her banning as racism and misogyny. Because that's what they would do.
It's an expression of the patriarchal, heteronormative, cisgender that is shutting down voices of a marginalized and vulnerable community.
We have a
black woman here talking about the basic rights of individuals, and the state is using its oppressive power to shut them up. How does that sound?
You captured it there. So all right.
I think the spin-off is calling now. Actually, they want to talk to us.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, they've still got money. All right. And let's get on to this. Alarming policy. I'm reading from one of your press releases. Alarming policy from Association of Psychotherapists Aotearoa New Zealand on sexual orientation and gender identity. We've been talking about this, but specifically, what is in that release? What are you saying?
So this was a review that was done with regards to how, as an outfit, they are authorizing psychotherapists to engage on questions of sexuality and gender. And I mean, it's a litany of everything that that would-be censors would want included, to say that they do not approve of conversations that draw into question whatsoever reflections or speculation or concerns around the non-binary nature of gender, which is to take off the table a definitive way that we have viewed this very crucial aspect of
identity. You mean a biological fact?
That's exactly right. Look, APNZ isn't a statutory body in the way that, for example, the Psychologist Board is. And at that point, we would be taking far stricter action. The Psychologist Board is the outfit that a psychologist or a psychiatrist needs to be licensed under the Health Practitioners Competency Assurance Act. And so because APNZ is a voluntary body, we can only call them out and challenge this nonsense. There isn't a legal path to saying that what they're doing is unlawful. However, it really continues to show the state of play, particularly within our healthcare system. And Paul, many of your listeners will be aware that over the past couple of months, the Free Speech Union has been progressively releasing a series of about 8 professional specific memberships. We're going and offering specific memberships for the Free Speech Union to academics and to lawyers and teachers and such, so that we can go into these institutions, these really important culture creating institutions in our society, and get them back on a straight and narrow path for free speech. One of the most important ones that I think we've released is our healthcare practitioners membership, because you look for midwives and for nurses and for dentists now who are having to do cultural safety training, and clearly here for psychiatrists as well. You know, there are many practitioners out there who hold very deeply held, informed, robust positions, and they are being sidelined and castigated on a whole number of issues. Obviously, gender is high amongst them. And I'm heartened by examples of what we've seen overseas, both on this issue and with respect to other questions like COVID as well, where those who stood on a principled, moderate, integrous, courageous stand, I would say, they are having the tide change in some ways, and they're being proven to have been correct on many issues. And I think it's remarkable to see that taking that courageous stand, it pays off in the long term, hopefully. And we would love to be able to stand with Kiwis in New Zealand who have taken that courageous stand, and we can help them ensure that their voices are not quashed and silenced.
That letter that comes off the headline that I mentioned just before three psychotherapists was to the Honourable Matt Ducey, Associate Minister of Health. He's got, what's the term? He's got a horse in this race, hasn't he?
It does seem that way. Matt Ducey was fairly involved with outfits in the UK.
When Tavistock.
Tavistock, that's right. He was a healthcare practitioner over there, and I think has been very influenced and informed by the narratives that were presented there. Obviously, there's an entire saga of what occurred there, and many of your listeners will know how that is no longer running. But it does seem we have, you know, we're dealing with someone who has very entrenched positions.
Yeah, should he even be in a decision-making role here, actually? Conflict of interest, baggage up the yin-yang.
Look, again, we were contacting him. This isn't something that he can actually change.
I know. But I guess my point is they're everywhere. They've taken over the asylum.
Fair question. Yeah. And you have to look at decisions that have been made around puberty blockers and that kind of thing. Is his perspective in line with the government's perspective and intention and policy on this issue? It would seem that there are at least two camps in the cabinet at the moment on this issue, and they seem to be fighting it out. Unfortunately, the open debate and the reflection on the evidence and the research that's in place, I don't think we're resorting to that as quickly as we should.
Jonathan Ayling, as always, thanks for coming on. And like I say, you're getting busier every day by the sounds of things, and hopefully all that will go away at some point.
Indeed.
And you'll work yourself into no job. But until then,
let it be. Thanks,
all right,
Paul.
Cheers. All right. Jonathan Ayling, Chief Executive of the Free Speech Union on RCR.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.